welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from an island chain paradise somewhere in the South Pacific that has such high radiation levels that everybody has a part-time job as an energy saver light bulb, which is good for the environment. And my very special guest is Rick Simpson, a man who knows all about radiation and how to cure the cancer that it causes. Welcome to the show, bro.
Great to be back with you, Vinny. And brother, you certainly rock. There's no question about that.
I do. I rock so hard, I'm frickin' granite.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay, no, so cancer rates on the rise. We've got in New Zealand, I'm not sure if it's between one in two people getting cancer or one in three. It's certainly not freaking being solved. And it's a friend of mine went out and went to a person who's collecting for the Cancer Society and tried to confront them about the suppressed cancer cures and so on and so forth, Rick. Right. And of course they just say, no, I don't believe that, right? As if your belief is strong enough to counter scientifically verified evidence, to counter 100% undeniable proof. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people have any capacity for real thought anymore. And indeed, this is one of the real problems with getting the truth out about things, is people can't even believe it, even if they see it.
You're quite right, Vinny. And, in our suppressed media, when I got back here, well, actually, before I came back to Croatia, I was talking to some of the activists over here. And I asked them, I said, what is any progress been made since I left last November? And they said, oh, yes. They said, over here now, all the magazines are writing about it, the papers, and there's TV shows. So they said, if you come back, that there'd be a lot of people interested in interviewing you. So, Canada, they have near television. It's the last thing in the world they would want, the great country of Canada. But when I came back to Croatia, it was no time. I did interviews with the biggest TV network here, and I've done interviews with the biggest newspapers here now, and I've got so many interviews coming up that it's just unbelievable. All the music magazines, they're all writing about this. And I was so happy that, when I came back, last year, there was hardly anyone here producing oil. But when I came back to Zagreb, people walked up to me in restaurants and on the street, and they say, well, are you Rick Simpson? And I'd say, well, of course. And, I'm an oil maker. Would you sample my oil? And, of course, I'm happy to do that. So, I went out and I sampled oil from four different suppliers. And I'm very happy to say that it was all excellent oil. So it's nice to know that some people are doing it right. So it's been what's happening right now in all of these countries here in Europe, they're just legalizing one after another. And there's no holding this back now, Vinny. The medicine is right on the horizon, and in no time I think we're going to have it.
You know what? I stand corrected. Have you noticed, people lose hope after having a few bad experiences, and then they forget about all the good stuff that's going on.
That's quite true. Yeah. But, I've seen nothing but good stuff since I came back, to this beautiful country. And, in Slovenia, next month they're putting a big proposal, into the government. And they're looking at legalizing and allowing people to grow their own medicines, which, is a natural right. We all have the right to heal ourselves, for God's sakes. And especially when you're using a plant that is harmless, non-addictive, and it's been used as a medicine for thousands of years. Who has the right to tell us we can't use this? So I think it's, get the people to stand up for themselves, tell their governments, that don't ask the government, demand your right to use this medicine and demand that they leave you alone.
Well, as somebody famously quoted, there's two types of people in the world, those who want to be left alone and those who won't leave you alone.
You're quite right, brother.
It's extraordinary as well. I mean, wouldn't you agree that despite the fact that there is this giant cancer industry with all of this funding, all of this propaganda mechanisms, plus this giant section of the population who are incapable of any kind of thought, let alone believing things, that portion still exists, yet we're having success on every front nonetheless. It just shows what a paper tiger they are.
That's exactly right. And it shows, like, you know, the shows like you do. I mean, this is what's waking the people up, these internet shows. And, you know, like you and David Icke, Max Egan, you know, like, I mean, these people are really shaking the world up. And they all support the use of this medicine. And, I mean, the internet has been the key to this. The mainstream media would have never, ever allowed this. But now we've basically surrounded them with the truth. And they really have nowhere to turn. And especially when I see countries like Croatia, where they actually put me on national television on quite a few different occasions now, you know, so many people in this country are aware of the truth. And the pressure is coming more and more on the government. So I don't think they have any choice. You know, they have to start doing what's right for their people. And healing them is definitely what's right.
Yeah, well, they either have that choice to abandon what they're doing now, which is denying doing what's right, essentially, or they can heat it up a little and do something even more wrong. Like, for example, have people whacked, or have companies bought out. Because this happened in Australia, for example, like a little off topic, but climate change in Australia became a big thing when Julia Gillard got elected, promising that she would never, ever put in a carbon tax. And the very first act in Parliament that she passed was a carbon tax after she signed a deal with the Greens in order to get power. The very first thing. What was funny, it was not just that, but these big magnates started buying up all of the media throughout Australia and propagating the carbon propaganda. So right. That's what happens when you have the a big lie, and then you want to cover the lie up by buying out all of the people that might actually be able to tell you the truth. And I certainly hope somebody tries and buys me soon enough. You know, I'm sick of living on the bones of my ass, you know.
I don't think you're for sale, Vinny. You're like me. You're too stupid to be bought off.
Yeah. Too reckless. Too reckless, you know. It's just this is the truth. This is what's right. Let's do it anyway. In fact, somebody asked me today, bro. One person offered to pay me to do stuff, and I'm like, I really don't want to. And another person said, hey, Vinny, you can't be making enough money off of doing what you're doing now. You need to go get a job. And I said, well, actually, no, I don't. I haven't needed any other income other than really this show since midway through 2012, I think. And they're saying that, oh, you probably don't have enough of a big YouTube following. I've got 10,000 plus subscribers. I've got more than the mainstream media does in New Zealand. Okay, trust me. This and you said it yourself. This radio show and radio shows like mine and people like me are the very reason why the world is now actually changing and seeing these great things happen. It is when an individual decides that I am not going to get a slave job, I am not going to toe the line, I am going to do what is right. Even if I have to suffer for it, even if I have to flee my homeland some kind of refugee, I don't care. I will do what is right regardless. You know, I tried working, you know, I tried going to two job interviews. I had a panic attack once before even getting the job and once before even showing up for the first day of work. I can't work, bro. Not for a slave company anyway.
I don't blame you, Vinny. It was funny here. I was doing an interview in Zagreb just a few days ago, and the journalist looked at me and he said, has the pharmaceutical industry ever approached you? And I said, oh, yes, I've been approached by more than one pharmaceutical company. And he said, well, what did they say? And I said, well, one offered me 1 million shares if I was willing to work with them. And he looked at me, he said, so you're working with the pharmaceutical companies? And I said, no, I refused it. And he looked at me and he said, you turned down 1 million shares in a pharmaceutical company? And I said to him, I said, look, I said, this medicine belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to some damn drug company, and it doesn't belong to any government. That's the reason I refused their offer. And, I mean, to be honest, Vinny, I want to see the pharmaceutical industry put out of business.
Bang!
Yes,
a double tap to the cerebellum.
You're quite right, brother. But it's like I said, you know, it's just wonderful to see it spreading the way it is now. I mean, there's a new wellness center down in Peru. Some friends of mine are down there now, and they're treating people with the oil. I had to laugh. The first patient came from Canada. They flew all the way to Peru to get the oil. But it's opening up everywhere. I did the speaking tour back in August in British Columbia. And beautiful. That's a beautiful province. I've never been there before, but it is every bit, you know, when you see the mountains and the ruggedness of that country out there, it's just beautiful. But we covered 2,600 miles in an old motorhome, me and another fellow. And we put on a lot of events. I got to meet Dr. Neil McKinney. He's a naturopathic oncologist. A wonderful guy, and he come up and he gave me his book. He's got a great book out on the subject, and he told me when he gave me the book, he said on the next edition, he said there's going to be a big chapter in there about that, about this oil. And then I spoke at an establishment called Weeds in Vancouver, and Dr. Paul Hornby was also there, so you know, we did the speaking engagement together. We spoke twice, and after we were done, like Paul, it's quite a contrast because I'm somewhat like you. I'm quite loud and I'm a bit outspoken, but Paul is a very soft-spoken man, but he is truly an expert in this field. So after we were done with the lectures, Paul and I went down to a restaurant, and he sat there and he looked at me and he said, "Rick," he said, "how did you come up with all of this?" And I said, "Well, I just followed gut instinct. You know, I said I was injured. I needed an answer, you know, to save my life. And I said, I found it." And he looked at me, and he had his laptop with him, and he said, "Well, let me show you where your gut instinct led you." And at first, I didn't know what to make of it. And then he turned the computer around, and he showed me this screen. And there was all of, it was like a screen full of charts. And, you know, all of these different levels. And all of a sudden, right in the middle, there was one that went right up off the scale. So Paul sat there and he explained, he said, this oil, you know, was made by, he started telling me who made the different oils. And when he got to the one in the middle, he looked at me and he said, "This is your oil." He said, "I made it myself." And he said, "When I tested it," he said, "I couldn't believe what I was seeing." He said, that simple method you showed everybody how to do, he said, "It achieves perfect decarboxylation." And, you know, so that, you know, it makes the medicine, and it puts the medicine in its most medicinal state. So well, Paul said perfect, he would be happy.
If it's got perfect decarboxylation, that would explain why the pharmaceutical companies are so discombobulated by it.
But Paul said he would be happy to work with me in the future. And, you know, with the help of Dr. Hornby and people like Dr. Lemire Hanouch, in no time, you know, we could bring this medicine down and you know, and perfect it in a very short time. Now, I mean, in the future, I want to grow the most medicinal strains in the world and, you know, do some, I'm a breeder anyway, so I'd like to do some crossing. And then determine which strains work the best for what conditions. And then with the help of Dr. Hornby and Dr. Hanouch, we could sit down and basically make this medicine tailor-made. You know, certain cannabinoid levels, you know, whatever is the best cannabinoid levels to treat any different illness. And so it's a very simple thing. But, you know, like medicine made to order, well, there would be a price tag, I guess, attached to that. So, I mean, I don't think any of us should ignore the healing power of the plant itself. And if you got the right strain, brother, you can heal just about anything.
I believe so. Now, interestingly enough, if cannabis oil can heal everything, Then have a look at what pharmaceutical drugs you use. They use oil. In fact, this is where originally the pharmaceutical industry began, was with the Rockefeller U.S. Standard Oil Company. They had all of this waste product, this waste byproduct, and they didn't have any idea what to do with it. And they thought, man, this will kill anything it touches. We can't bury it. We can't put it in the water. We can't put it on the land. We can't put it in the sea. Let's turn it into drugs and make people swallow it.
Well, that's what they did, Vinny. That's exactly right.
And now, the medical system in the United States is the second leading cause of death.
I disagree with that. I think they're the leading cause of death.
But this is only including that which is properly prescribed. This doesn't include any accidents, and this doesn't include unreported reactions and so on and so forth. So you're correct. Even by that, this is their own admission that we're the second leading cause of death. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's a world that has a lot of people twisting the truth, and it's very, very sad to see. Justice is not a natural thing, ladies and gentlemen. When was the last time you saw a gazelle beat the crap out of a lion because he ate his little baby? It doesn't frickin' happen in nature, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the case. You have to artificially make justice happen. If it's unjust that people are dying left, right, and center because all the cancer cures are being suppressed, then you have to make the cancer cure available. You have to give people the knowledge, and you have to basically give of yourself in order to ensure that the truth and justice comes into view. Anybody else who says different is freaking kidding themselves.
Well, you know, you're so right, Vinny. There's so many people out there now twisting the truth and, you know, their hidden agendas and things like that. And, well, just recently I was contacted by Cannabis Nation Radio in California, and they wanted me to do an interview, so I agreed. And about 2 days later, you know, they were only going to give me about 30 minutes airtime. And about 2 days later, they sent me this email, and they said, send us the 20 questions you would like to be asked. And as soon as I read that, the alarm bells went off. And, of course, I went into their archives, and I looked, and I said, who are these people? Who have they been interviewing? Well, there it was, you know, High Times Magazine, you know, and the editor of High Times, and Miss High Times, you know, of course, that's very important. And Lester Grinspoon, you know, all of these top experts. What a joke. So it just sickened me when I seen it. And knowing that they are allowing these people to provide their own questions, I mean, that's not an interview, for God's sakes. That's a platform to spread your own propaganda. So I came back and I told Mike Bolton that I would have nothing to do with their show. And, of course, that made Mr. Bolton quite mad. Matter of fact, he called me an arrogant bastard. But I couldn't care less what Mr. Bolton thinks. But when they aired their show, they turned around, and the whole show was an hour devoted to trashing me. They came at me in every direction you could. They said that, you know, Jack Herer had never wanted me to be the leader of the movement, and that, you know, I was basically lying about all of that. And it was just one thing after another for a solid hour. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So actually here a while ago, or shortly after that, I put a clip up on the, well, half an hour clip up on the internet called Rick Simpson Debunks Cannabis Nation Radio. And in that video, I challenged them all, Grinspoon, the whole damn bunch of them. You know, come on air on a live show and take me on. And of course they won't do that. Because I'll sink their boat in 2 seconds, and they know it. But there is so many people out there spreading this lies and propaganda. It just makes me sick, you know. But in the end, once the public wakes up, I don't know where these people are going to hide, because, you know, they're causing this to continue. You know, we should be working together to bring this medicine to the people that need it. Instead, they're just playing games with it the way they always have. And I am damn disappointed in all of these researchers that have known the truth about this substance for decades, but yet they held it back. They took their research grants and they kept their mouths shut. Now, I mean, how much trust can we put in people like that? And why is it a guy like me with a brain injury and a grade 8 education has to be the one to bring this, you know, forward so the public will learn the truth?
Well, because you're the one with the power to. Simple as that, you know. That's one of the other lines from Team America, World Police. Why do I have to save the world? Why is it my responsibility? Because, well, like it or not, you're the one with the power, that, you know. But and that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Have you noticed? Every single thing that really gets accomplished that's really great for humanity is usually triggered and put into place by one person.
Well, they say, you know, just a small group of people can change the world. And, well, it's not
the only thing that ever has.
I mean, I don't put myself as being any more important than anyone else in the movement, but now there's I've met so many wonderful activists. And this medicine, the use of it is spreading so rapidly now. You know, we have millions of people now using the medicine in all countries. And, you know, and the results themselves, for God's sakes, you know. Well, you know, the medical system, they don't heal anything. And this wonderful medication seems to be a treatment that's effective for practically every disease I've ever heard of.
Mm. And we know that that's the case because you've actually cured people with every single frickin' disease that you could ever think
well.
Of. You know? It's like somebody comes up to you, oh, you can't cure this, really. Talk to these 10,000 people that I've cured of it.
Right.
Yeah. You can't cure that, though. Oh, really? Here's the 3,000 people that we've cured of it. But surely you can't cure this. Here's 2,000 people that we've cured of it. You're going to run through. What are you going to do before you accept the truth? Are you going to run through every single conceivable, identifiable disease in a textbook and find out whether or not it works before you start to accept the fact?
Yes. Well, you know, like last year when I was here in Croatia, there was a meeting arranged for the advisors of the Minister of Health here. So I went right to their government building, went in and had the meeting. And the minute I walked through the door, it was a woman doctor, and she looked at me and she said, she spoke good English, and she said, well, you know, this drug is addictive. And I looked at her and I said, it's been known all through history that cannabis is not addictive, dear. And I said, even the Canadian government admitted back in 2000 that it's non-addictive. Well, then she turned right around and she said, well, someone died from it. And there was a computer sitting on her desk, and I pointed at the computer. I said, show me, like that. And she looked at me and she said, well, it was a synthetic cannabinoid that a pharmaceutical industry had produced. And I said, well, I'm not surprised that it killed someone, but the cannabinoids from the plant do not cause death, and it's that simple. And she was sitting there looking at me, and I said, don't you use one place, do you?
And sorry. Can you repeat that? You kind of cut out of it. She was sitting there looking at you, and what?
And I asked her, I said, you know, you don't even know why this law was put in place. And I said, did Croatia do a study on cannabis to determine the dangers? And I said, no, you didn't. Well, you know, what your government did, they did what the big money told them, and they put these laws in place, and look at the destruction and harm it's caused. And she just, I mean, she believed me. There was no question, because she followed me right out to the outside door, you know, talking to me. So I think it did have an impact on her. But now, like I said, with so many people in Croatia, you know, knowing the truth, I think it's just a matter of time, and the government here is going to have to act, and I think in just the next few months.
You know what? I think lies are no match for the truth, provided the truth is said in an equal quantity, right? Because what we started off with, I think, say, in the Harry J. Anslinger, I love it how his middle name was J. he came out in a legalized pot. You know, you have the Reefer Madness, these massive propaganda campaigns of which there was virtually no rival. And the amount of people that were telling the truth, one out of a million. Now it's starting to reverse a little bit. I think once the point comes where there's 500,000 people telling the truth and 500,000 people telling the lie, the people who are telling the lie, nobody's going to believe them at all.
they'll just fade away, Vinny. You know, and like I said, I honestly do think that it is, you know, I mean, United States, one state after another is legalizing now, and I think in a short time, probably within the next year to 2 years, every state in the union is going to be legal. And when that occurs, I don't know what Mr. Obama is going to do, because they're going to want to hang him, and I don't blame them. But I really think it's going to happen in one of these countries with a small population, like here, like Croatia or Slovenia. And, I mean, the minute they let us do this and start treating people openly, then the rest of the countries are just going to fall like dominoes. Because, I mean, everyone wants, you know, good medicine, medicine that works. And this is the ultimate answer for preventative medicine or for healing yourself with a terminal disease that you now have. You know, what better medicine to treat yourself with, for God's sakes?
Yeah, I do believe you're correct. If America completely legalizes pot, the rest of the country's legislation will fall like dominoes, and Americans will certainly order a lot more of it as well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't want to be the Canadian Prime Minister in the future because, I mean, it's like I said, I started all this in Canada back in 2003. And, well, you know, there it is. 10 years have gone by. All of these people have suffered and died because, you know, the government wouldn't do the right thing for the people. So I really don't think the Canadian people are going to be too damn happy with their political parties and their political leaders. So the change is coming. But again, I hope we can accomplish it without any violence. It would be nice if we did something right for a change. You know? Yeah.
But, wouldn't it be nice if instead of people suffering and dying, people got healed and stopped feeling so much pain? You know, I mean, it's just... Doesn't that seem pretty straightforward? I would have thought so, but apparently some people just don't believe that that's a logical thing.
You're quite right, brother. You know, this is the hard part of this medicine. It's all the whole thing is so simple, and the medicine is so easy to make that people, they can't believe, you know, what I'm telling them. And they you know, really, in many cases, people have to, they have to see the evidence with their own eyes, and then they wake up. But many people now, like I said, countless numbers now worldwide are seeing that evidence. And it's all, I mean, the internet is just littered with it now. So,
oh, yeah. Well, the only enemy that we really have now is not whether or not the lies are capable of deflecting people. It's whether or not people actually want to look. Okay.
Right.
Once they look, they find out and the truth has become self-evident. But. Yes. Just like, as I mentioned before, with the climate change debate, for example, they don't want to look because they're afraid to be wrong. They're afraid to know the truth. That's right. Really sad. Imagine. Just picture this. We've got virtually an entire global community who is afraid to hear truth.
You're quite right. You know, and people like Al Gore spreading their lies and all that. And I mean, who needs a new tax, for God's sakes? Don't we pay enough taxes? I mean, it's a bit ridiculous.
My point on this is, Rick, can you name me a single human activity that does not produce CO2? No? Okay.
Well,
so ergo to tax CO2 is to tax human existence itself. And that has been a plan all along.
You're quite right, brother. Now, I tell you right now, if we could eliminate people like Al Gore, there would be a lot less problem with CO2.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of hot air that comes out of him, it's unbelievable. But also, it ties into this thing. So people forget what was his name? Eisenhower. He warned about the disastrous rise of misplaced power, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. The potential for this exists and will persist. It was very prophetic words. And now we have a medical military-industrial complex at the same time. What I feel that you're doing, and as well as many other people along many different fronts, whether that be climate change or whatever, mm-hmm. All we're doing is driving a wedge, okay? There's a big door. It's a closed door, and everybody's got one little wedge, and if everybody hammers that wedge into a different part of that door, its frames will bust wide open, and we will be free. But
that's right.
You know, you've got to have the guts to do a bit of door knocking first.
Yes, you do. And, you know, I mean, people, they often ask me, you know, well, you know, you must have been threatened or, you know, or things like that. And I say, no. No one has ever threatened me. It's a wonder that somebody didn't come shoot me years ago. If they had have, then they could have put an end to this whole thing. You know, if they had got rid of me back in 2004 or so. But now my name has become so wide and well known. And when I went back to Canada, I was stuck in Canada for 11 months here just recently. And not one police officer, no, I shouldn't say that. One police officer did come near me. He was looking for treatment for his daughter. but not one cop came near me. And, you know, I think they understand now that if they put me in a court or something like that, that it would be a very bad scene for them, and it would draw more attention to this. And I think that actually the courthouse would be surrounded because, you know, enough people do know the truth now.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much enough to know the truth. You actually have to stand up for it.
Yes.
I mean, the reason why a lot of people often shy away from debates of this nature is because they're just not informed. And so they go, okay, this debate is over, you're crazy, I'm walking away. And okay, the only reason why you think this debate is crazy is because you don't know what you're talking about, and you couldn't conceive possibly that you could be wrong in any way, shape, or form. You know everything? Is that the reason why you're ignoring me? You know? You've got all available information? I love the ones who say, there's no proof, there's no evidence. Really? Are you telling me there's no proof, no evidence? On the whole planet Earth, be it online, in a book, or in the mind of a scientist, that you, and you alone, are the sole arbiter of all said information, and that you can categorically state that in the existence of all knowledge in the universe, that there is no proof and there is no evidence. Are you willing to swear and sign an affidavit to that effect?
Right. Yeah, it's a good idea. Put the pressure on them. Make them responsible. And this is what we have to do. I mean, if governments don't have, if they're not responsible to their citizens, then who are they? And why
I think
do
it's
we,
garbage.
You know,
it's garbage in, garbage out, though, Rick. You know,
right?
The citizens aren't responsible, and so naturally they elect irresponsible politicians to represent their interest.
Of course, you're quite right, brother.
I mean, it's sad, but it's fucking funny. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Rick Simpson from phoenixtears.ca is my guest. And also, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com because I'm in a bit of a financial stress plight right at this very moment in time. So any support would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Wayne rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being an edible extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. AmericanFreedomRadio.com is back online, ladies and gentlemen. It's been down for virtual week, and I like went to it just now before the show. I was like, oh my God, it's back online. I don't have to kill myself in the bathtub tonight.
Oh, Vinnie. You certainly do have the one-liners, brother.
Now, if you have many one-liners, does that count as one-liners or just many liners?
Many liners.
Yeah. Kind of like J.P. Morgan, at the time that he built the Titanic, he actually built two other ships as well that were a similar size as the Titanic.
Yes.
And then he allegedly, deliberately sunk the Titanic with all his competition on board.
Well, that likely is a fact. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you gotta love those false flags.
Well, I'm excited right now because there's a lot of talk about Tesla and free energy and, you know, all of these things again that's been hidden from us. And to see the attention being paid to Nikola Tesla, I think is wonderful. That man, I really think he was the greatest scientist of all time. You know, he was so far ahead of everyone else. You know, even Albert Einstein, I don't think he could hold a candle to Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, somebody asked me once if I could interview anybody living or dead, who would it be? Tesla. No contest. Although Suzanne Posel gave from Occupy Corporatism .com gave a different answer. She wanted to speak to Jesus and find out whether what was actually really going on. And I thought, hey, actually, yeah, that'd be cool too. You know, chill out with JC.
Yeah, why not? And then we could talk to JC about the amazing medicine he used to heal people, which was also full of cannabinoids. I love this. You know, people come to me quite often. I can't use this oil because it would go against my religion. And I look at them and I said, well, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yes. I go to church. And I said, well, why do you refuse to use the same medicine that Jesus Christ himself used? And then they give you this stupid look. And I said, it's been proven the holy anointing oil was full of cannabinoids. It was not the power of God that Jesus was using. It was the power of cannabis. But I honestly think that if there was a man named Jesus Christ walking this earth 2,000 years ago, I believe he was just an ordinary man who was using hemp medicines to heal people. And he achieved wonderful results, and for doing that, they probably killed him.
Yeah. Who do you trust?
That's right, brother.
I mean, seriously, I had a friend back when I was working on the vines after I got busted for selling cannabis. I had to work on the vines for a year and do my community service as well. And she had her father had a T-shirt that said, "Man created alcohol, God created cannabis. Who do you trust?"
Quite right. You know, and here a while ago, too, I was doing an interview in Canada with Ron Stevens, another great activist. And on the same show, he had a gentleman on there named Minister Robin, and kind of a strange title, but a very nice man. So him and I got talking, and he told me, he said, "I used to be with the RCMP." And I said, "Oh, really?"
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
That's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And he said that he had actually worked in the upper echelons in CSIS. That's the top of the RCMP. And he said, after a few years, Rick, he said, "I seen it for what it was," and he said, "I quit." And he said, "I looked into the free man on the land movement," but he said it was too convoluted. He said it didn't make sense in some ways. So he said, "I started looking into law to find out what law was based on." So he said, "What I found, that laws are based on the King James Bible." So a few years ago, I guess Minister Robin, he was growing cannabis. So they came and they raided him and they got a few pounds of pot and they took him into court. So he got up before the judge and he said, "Before we get underway," he said, "I have a couple questions for the court." And the judge allowed it. And he said, "Would I be right in stating that all laws are based on the King James Bible, or that laws are based on the King James Bible?" And the judge said, "Well, yes." He said, "Would I be right in thinking that no law can supersede God's laws?" And I guess instantly the judge excused himself from the case. Then six more judges did the same thing because they knew that he was going to expose them. And then two prosecutors quit. They didn't know what to do with him. So they took him off in a side room finally, and they looked at him and they said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want you people to leave me alone." They've never come near him since. So
yeah.
this is a nice little thing to know. The next time you go before a judge, ask him these questions. Because these idiotic laws that we're following, that's just paper and ink. These are man-made laws. These are not God's laws.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely true. And it seems to me that being spiritual has very little to do with following religion these days. You know what I'm saying? It's about having moral ethic. And the Bible does clearly outline what moral ethic is. It clearly defines what right is, what wrong is, I believe. And if that is your baseline to go on, the likelihood that you will steal, murder, lie, cheat in many different ways, it just doesn't work. And it's true what you say. Of course, that's what the laws are for, to stop you from stealing, lying, and cheating to a large extent. You know, you can be prosecuted for defamation. You can be prosecuted for theft. You can be prosecuted for murder. You can be prosecuted for rape. You can get divorced for adultery, which in some cases is worse than prison.
Right.
Some might argue that marriage is worse than prison, but they're wrong. It's not that bad. Close. I'm just kidding. I'm about to get married in January, so you know.
I tried the marriage game twice, Vinny, and I've had the same girlfriend now for the last 25 years, and I figure as long as I don't marry her, everything will be okay.
You know, you're probably right. I'll just tell my missus, you know, hey, baby, we'll have a ceremony and everything, but, you know, let's just keep it on the DL.
Right. No, it's been a very strange experience for me, and you know, even today, I look back on the last few years, and it just makes me, you know, wonder how could all of this have happened? How could this be? You know, here I am. You know, I'll be 64 years old at the end of this month. I'm bouncing around like I'm basically a man without a country now, and but you know, just going to all these different countries and meeting all these wonderful actors, it's been a real honor, you know, to play this role. And it's the way I look at it. It's just a role. We all have a role in life, and this just happened to fall into my lap. But if I had to do it all over again, I would do the same thing, Vinny.
Yeah, I think so, because the consequences really do kind of come down on you. I think it was Ayn Rand who once said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And that's what cannabis legislation does. It ignores reality. And there are consequences everywhere you look. Everybody's sick. People are going to jail for no good freaking reason. You got like what percentage of the U.S. Prisoner population are there for simple possession charges? You know, it's a very high percentage, no pun intended.
Very high.
And incidentally, you can get drugs in prison anyway.
Well, yes, prisons are full of them. You know, but they do have some of the top activists like Eddie Lapp, Roger Christie. There's many of the top activists that have been locked up. I mean, Eddie Lapp's doing a 10-year sentence, for God's sakes. You know, for the simple act of trying to help his fellow man, they throw him in prison for 10 years. I mean, where's the justice in that?
Well, that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
It is. You're quite right, brother. But I think that's all going to change in the near future. And, you know, I mean, nobody should go to jail over cannabis, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it's never harmed anyone, and we all know it. You know, but people delude themselves. I mean, I've watched people smoking pot and using, you know, cannabis for, well, over 40 years now. I've never seen anyone harm from it. And that old lame excuse they always use, you know, it's a gateway drug, you know, and if you smoke cannabis, you're going to be on heroin next week. You know, what a bunch of bullshit that is. I mean, we found that, yes, I do agree with the government in one way. It is a gateway drug, but it's not a gateway that's going to lead you to the use of hard drugs. It's a gateway that's going to get you away from it.
Well, it's I believe a statistic was released by in the United States that 87% of illegal drug users only use cannabis, and the remaining 13% found the hard drugs because cannabis is illegal and their dealer offered them other things.
I'm not surprised.
Didn't have a license, didn't ask for ID, nothing.
Right.
There's no
protection.
I mean, there's no quality control.
Well, that's the problem right now, and this is what we need. We need standards, quality control in place, and, you know, like, it would be so easy if people would just understand, look, I mean, we grew this plant all through our history. There was never any problem with it until just the last few decades, and, you know, the propaganda, they put the laws in place, and ever since then, we've been suffering. So, you know, it's not, none of this is based in reality. It's all a big lie. It's all propaganda. And there's not a shred of truth in any of this. I mean, I've read more damn things through my life about all the evils of cannabis, but none of it was true.
Yeah, well, it is propaganda, and you can tell, because if you take a propaganda at it, you'll find there's nothing true. It doesn't make any sense. It is the antithesis to truth. It is the antithesis to justice. It is the antithesis to logic itself. It's the antithesis to humanity. It's the antithesis to everything that is positive and defines us as a decent, nice species. And I think that's why people are so angry and so depressed right now that they actually physically, in their own souls and hearts, justify and think that the human race is a bad thing. It shouldn't be on Earth anymore. Well, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, bro. You first, you know? Volunteer. There are many, many cliffs that you can jump off. Nobody's stopping you. Just F off. Let the rest of us live our lives as we want. We'll be right back. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. The clean, green New Zealand, where the water drinking, where the drinking water standards allow 1,000 times more Roundup than they do in European drinking water standards. You've got to love this place, man.
Yeah, what's not to love? Poison water.
Hey, I mean, it's just deformities.
Right, yes. Nice thing to have in your family, you know?
Oh, yeah, it builds character, you know? Hard enough. Right. I know you've only got one arm, but frick. Man, that was really cold.
Yes, it was. But, just like you say, you have to make things into a joke sometimes. But, you know,
I found that this also gives me a convenient out, is because if I ever say anything that actually gets interpreted as really nasty or horrible or whatever, I could just say, I was joking.
Right. Well, right now, I mean, in Canada, the Liberals, they put, Pierre Elliott Trudeau's son, Justin Trudeau, he's looking to be the next leader of Canada, of course, and he's spouting all of this nonsense about how he's going to legalize and do all of these wonderful things. And, of course, me, I don't believe a word of it, because 10 years ago, it was the Liberals that I went to in the first place, you know, the Liberal Federal Ministers of Health. So I think the song that Mr. Trudeau is singing right now is actually just more about controls and regulations. And actually, next April, I believe it is, all the medical licenses in Canada are going to be withdrawn. So people can't grow their own.
Do you appreciate the irony that Trudeau tells a lot of lies, though?
Well, I don't think he's much different than his father, and his father never did nothing for Canada either, and I don't believe that Justin Trudeau will be any different.
It'd be better to have frickin' Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake than Trudeau.
Well, the only thing I can say about Justin Trudeau is he might be a bit better than that idiot that's leading Canada right now, Stephen Harper.
Yeah. I think a lot of people really be upset with the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. It's been quite funny to see all the Canadians get up in arms about it. Because when you're in a Commonwealth country, you understand that you're part of the Queen's realm, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, it's something strange about the Commonwealth is that the only thing that's common is that we all hate our Prime Minister.
Right. Well, I mean, Australia is really no different. There was a speech here a while ago. I laughed when I seen it on the internet. The Australian Prime Minister gave a speech. And a month before, the Canadian Prime Minister had given the same speech.
You know, oh, yeah, so the exact word for word. Yeah, I remember
yes.
seeing that.
Yes, you know, I mean, ridiculous for God's sakes. But I'm hoping one of these days, I know very well that we can all live with the Queen. It would be kind of nice, you know, if we got back to reality and said goodbye to royalty and all this other nonsense. They're just people, yeah, the same as we are.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about this. What's the logic here? Okay, you're the Queen. Okay, I'm the Queen. How did you become the Queen? Well, my father was king. And what about his father? Well, he was king too. Well, let's trace it back to the beginning. How did the first king start? Well, he killed everybody else who was planning to try and rule people or lead anybody. And then said that he was king, and anybody who said different got killed.
Right.
So does that mean you're a hereditary dictator? Yes, it does. Okay, so why are we paying our taxes to hereditary dictators? Why have they got sweeping powers to dissolve parliament? You know, I mean, right. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind dissolving parliament, except I wouldn't use an act or a law or something. I'd use sulfuric acid, but the
I would too. That's a great idea. Just wouldn't spray them like bugs.
I mean, you know, you got all those people on the side of the road with the little pump action spray things that they spray the weeds with and everything like that. You know, just walk up to Parliament.
Well, I mean, you know, when you look today at, you know, all of what the big money is doing, you know, all this chemtrails, my God, it's all over Canada and here in Europe. Last year here in Zagreb, the sky was just crisscross. It was just like a checkerboard. You know, but it's just like people, they won't look up. You know, look what they're doing to us, for God's sakes. You know, and what's in there? You know, the barium and aluminum sulfate and all this other trash. What right do they have? I mean, they're crop dusting the human race, for God's sakes. You know, and no one has that right. And then I looked into it a bit deeper, and from what I understand, guess who's behind it?
Monsanto?
Would it surprise you if I said the Rothschilds and their banker friends? They're the ones that are causing this.
Well, can I ask you, can you tell me one instance of scumbaggery that affects an entire country or the globe that wasn't involved in some way, the Rothschilds?
Well, yes, that's a very strong point, brother, because they've been running the show now for around 200 years, and that's truly sickening, you know, that one family is in control of over half the money on the planet. And on top of that, the Queen herself, as I understand it, the royal family is worth something like $17 trillion.
They still maintain the land and mineral rights to every country in the Commonwealth. So you can buy the topsoil, you know, and buy a bit of land and put your house on it or whatever. But if the Queen decides that they want the oil that's underneath you, you don't have any rights of ownership at all, because they own everything.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Whenever I'm on a piece of land, I would love to see Prince Charles come and try to take it away from me.
They never do anything themselves, though. Have you noticed that? They've always got these lackeys. I remember seeing a thing on the internet. It was like they had a list of all of these different servants that the royals have, and it's something along the lines of well over 100 servants. Right? This is only a handful of people living in these palaces, and they've got like 100 servants, including the groomer of the stall, whose job it is.
I know about that one. You're the royal ass wiper.
I mean, talk about a crap job.
Oh, yes, I don't think I'd want that one.
What's the necessity? There is no necessity.
Well, you'd think the people would catch on. I know I was doing an interview in England here quite a while ago, and I told them before, you know, just as the interview started, I said there's probably going to be a lot of people in England that are not going to be too pleased with what I'm about to say. And so the announcer, he said, well, you know, what is it that you're going to say? And I said, I think they should take the royal family out into the middle of the Atlantic and keelhaul them all. And he started laughing, and he said, you know, Rick, he said, 10 years ago, if you had made that statement, he said, yes, people would have hated you. But he said, almost everyone in England now would agree with that statement. Oh, that, so the times, hey, they are changing, brother.
Yeah, hey, and come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and don't criticize, because you're about to go home. And the problem is, I think people don't have the courage of their convictions. You know, everybody's willing to say, you know, that's cool, let's get rid of the royals. To say something is very, very different from doing something, much like it's very different to know the path and walk the path.
Well, that's the same with all of these patients that I've seen. You know, everyone that come to me, they all said the same thing. You know, if this medicine works, I'm going to tell the world. You know, 3 months later, they're cured of their terminal cancer or whatever, and they don't say a word. There's only about maybe 1 in 10 people that will actually open up about the subject. The rest of them are just like the sheeple they've always been. They go back in the corner and they hide. And that's what's wrong. You know, if everyone who had used this oil would just get up and tell the world what it did for them, you know, we could end this so much more quickly. But like we said, people are sheeple.
Yeah. And we have an education system, a government, and 100 years of social engineering to blame for this, I believe. Mm-hmm. We have mass media misinforming people. We have people have become dumbed down. I think that's actually really, really the two cruxes of the issue. Lack of personal responsibility and self-reliance, so that everybody becomes dependent, right, and a lack of critical thinking. The ability to think for oneself and the ability to take care of oneself are the two things that have been virtually eliminated.
Quite true. You know, but I think it has a lot to do with all that fluoride we use to prevent tooth decay.
Yeah. See, I wanted to swallowing fluoride is foolish. It's like me saying I need a haircut, so I'm going to swallow scissors.
That's a good analogy, bro. That's an excellent analogy.
You know, it only works topically, bro.
Right. But it's scary, you know, today, because you see that the fluoride is in everything, you know. And I go back to Canada, and I honestly, when I was in Europe, I lost quite a bit of weight when I was here, and I think it was basically due to the much better food supply, because as soon as I went back to Canada, in no time, I started swelling up again. Of course, I didn't have any oil, and, you know, the toxins in the food there, and the GMOs, you're just surrounded by it, you know. And unfortunately, in Canada, this is another thing I love about Europe. There's so many people here that still grow their gardens just like they did 100 or 200 years ago. In Canada, I don't know where the hell you'd find a garden now. You know, they all just go to the grocery store. I mean, people don't grow their own food. You know, they put the responsibility for their lives in the hands of others. And that's about the dumbest thing you can do.
Yeah. Imagine one day, power's off.
Mm-hmm.
Just the power cut being cut off. Nothing more.
Right. That's all.
That's
takes.
The only thing. Everybody's dead. All right.
Yep.
They won't be able to feed themselves. They won't be able to. They won't be able to get water. They won't be able to watch TV. Turn on lights. They won't be able to heat themselves. They won't be able to keep themselves cool in the summer. That you can't do nothing without power. And this became very obvious to me and my mate Dan the other day when we had a big power outage in our area. About 43,000 homes got affected. It was like a quarter of the city, Virg. Well, not a quarter of the city. There's like a million, 1.4 million people in the city. It's actually quite a small amount. But, you know, virtually as far as the eye could see, it's just darkness, blackness. And what's funny is that you get so used to having all of these conveniences that once they're taken away, it actually takes a while to kick in that there's not there anymore. You know, it's like, man, it's real dark in here. And you try to flip on the, oh, that's right, there's no freaking light. Man, I'm really hungry. Let's cook some dinner. Oh, we can't because there's no electricity. Damn. Man, I really want a coffee. Let's boil some water. We don't have any electricity to boil.
But, yeah, I mean, look at the stupid things we do, Vinny. I mean, you know, we put all our eggs in one basket, for God's sakes. You know, this computerized world, everything runs on a microchip now. Well, what happens to all those microchips if we have an electromagnetic pulse? Mm. Everything stops. You know, so, I mean, people are not prepared for, you know, for the disasters that could happen in the near future. And, I mean, I think every home should have kerosene lamps, a food supply, you know, and a way you can survive. But people just trust the system. You know, if anything happens, our government will save us. No, they won't. It's that simple.
They will save themselves and
yes.
themselves only. It's called the Continuity of Government Program. It has been exposed. The documents have been released, declassified. They don't give a frack about you. They don't give a frack about democratic rights, even though I don't really believe in democracy. It's just, you know, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
But, right.
And it occurs to me that it only exists, government only exists, because people believe its lies. As soon as people stop believing lies, once the truth comes out, the people being dumbed down stops. The people right. being dependent stops.
Right.
Just stop believing lies. And the best way to stop believing lies is if you're constantly telling the truth, you know?
Right.
You know, I mean, I was watching this great movie called The Tale of Despero. It's about a little mouse, a very brave little mouse. And he's obsessed with being a knight. To follow the knight's code of courage, honor, and truth.
Yep.
And I thought, that's actually a good trinity to live by, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
We yes. seem to have lost that, and it needs to be brought back.
Definitely. Yes, I would have to agree with that one, brother. Well, I think the human race has actually lost their identity. You know, we don't even know what it is to be a human anymore. But in the future, you know, I can see the handwriting on the wall now, the American monetary collapse. That's bound to happen. The EU is not much better off with their euro. You know, these monetary systems are just a fraud. They're just paper. And it's not based on anything. But I think there's going, you know, like when it all collapses, there's going to be a great number of people suddenly wake up and realize, well, my money is worthless. Now, what do I do? You know, and on top of that, I think that the road, no matter what happens now, the road leads back to cannabis. Because with the honeybee going extinct, I mean, that's going to have a devastating effect on the farm crops. And where do you turn? Well, what's the greatest food supply on earth? You know, with the cannabis seeds, if you have cannabis seeds, you're never going to starve to death, and you don't need honeybees to grow cannabis. All you need is the males and a little bit of wind to pollinate the females.
Oh, yeah. It works. And what I found interesting as well with hemp, a couple of people tried this. They tried growing some cannabis inside a hemp field, you know, high THC cannabis inside a low THC hemp field.
Right.
And they cross-pollinated and turned them all to hemp.
Oh, God, yes, it would.
And they were like, damn, I was going to smoke that weed, man.
If you're going to grow weed,
I'm on disability, man.
Put it in with the corn, not in with the industrial hemp.
Yeah. Well, corn is a breed of grass.
Yeah. But, you know, like today, I'm getting emails, like so many emails now. They're just pouring in from, you know, all over the planet. And, you know, and it's a wonderful feeling knowing that, you know, something that you started is having such a dramatic impact, you know, on our planet and everybody on this planet. And so it really gives me a good, you know, a warm feeling in my heart to know that, you know, something good is happening.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Rick Simpson.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. That are you on? I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back.
My heart goes boom, boom, boom.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that knows what side it is on the side of truth, justice, and freedom. It's all very well fighting for the survival of the human race, but if you're not fighting for the survival of a free human race, what the hell is the point in surviving at all?
You're quite right, brother. You know, I mean, people are always asking me, Vinny, you know, like, well, what can we do? We have no power. No, I always tell people, I said, look, you've got all the power in the world. Just unite. You know, what would happen this coming weekend if everybody in Australia didn't drive their cars? Do you think the gas companies might take notice? The same goes for the food industry. You know, go and start growing your own gardens. Put a dent in, you know, in this evil monster. And, you know, like people just, you know, if they would just stand together, they could empower themselves because they truly are the power. Mm. But as long as you're going to leave it in the hands of these idiot governments, well, you're never going to know freedom or anything else. All you're going to know is death and destruction.
Yeah, and I found that you don't even necessarily need to stand together in order to make huge righteous chains. You just need to not back the frack down. And this is something we were talking about over the break when I have arguments with people online, when I know that they're wrong and I have the evidence that I'm correct and I know for a fact that they're lying and that they don't have any evidence, what do they do, Rick? They frickin' back down and walk away and pretend that it didn't happen. But they don't do it instantly. They only do it once they realize that their lies, misinterpretations, and fallacious arguments ain't frickin' working.
Well, it's high time that they all realized. I mean, this is a time of enlightenment. It is a time that so many truths are coming out. And to stand in the way of these truths, I mean, you're putting yourself, I look at it as putting yourself in harm's way. You know, when the public realizes that you've caused all of this, you're part of what's causing all this damage, I don't think they're going to be too pleased with you.
Well, I don't like that approach, actually, Rick. Let me explain. South Africa, when they were trying to get rid of apartheid, for example, the black population were doing things like blowing up power pylons or acts of actual literal terrorism.
Right.
And what the white government was really afraid of, and the reason why they were perfectly happy to shoot black people who were running away in Soweto, shoot them in the back and what have you, is because they were afraid, deathly afraid, that if they admitted what they had done to people was wrong and gave them the power to determine their own future that they deserved, that they would have vengeance visited upon them by the black population.
Yes.
Then Nelson Mandela comes out after spending his time in Robben Island, explains to the white leaders, look, we're not going to have any reprisals. We're not going to rape your women or burn your homes or anything like that. We're going to let you have all the same rights that you should have given us the whole time. And we're going to respect those rights precisely the same way that you haven't been doing to us, to show that we're the better person. And more to the point, if we did keep telling you that we're going to give reprisals, you'd never let us have our power, would you?
Quite true. Quite true.
Uh-huh. Same thing happened in Ireland. And I feel the elite, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, everything like that, I say we offer them amnesty. Hand over the reins of power quietly, peacefully, honestly.
Right.
And you can live in your big fancy mansions for the rest of your life in peace and stop killing people.
Well, that's more or less what I've said right along, and actually in my books and things. You know, like, basically, I'm not saying that we should take these people and kill them or anything.
I'm just afraid of reprisals and that kind of thing for uneducated people who don't know what the human condition really is capable of.
Right. But, you know, but we could cushion what's coming. You know, instead of having financial collapses, if we would just take these families, these mega-rich families, take them into a common law court, and make them admit their guilt, then, I mean, it's not about, to me, like, don't put them in jail. Like you said, let them go home, let them live out their lives, but take the money and resources, these vast amounts of money, from them and put them in the hands of people we can trust. Like a world council that, you know, would distribute the money all over the planet and help people in every country and convert all of these industries we have today that are harming our planet. I mean, we could convert these industries over into hemp-based industries, and nobody has to lose their job. You know, life could just go on, except all of a sudden we would have a hemp-based economy, and it would make perfect sense.
Yeah, I think so. I wondered what would happen. Let's say you confiscated all money the elite have stolen off the world, i.e. all money in the world. And then distributed it equally. All right. Let's say everybody gets given $1 million. Every African, every Indian, every Chinaman, every New Zealander, every Canadian, every person from the UK, the USA, and anybody from Mexico that calls each other SA. You know what I'm saying? If we're capable of doing that, you could imagine. Suddenly, everybody's on the rich list.
Why not?
I don't think it would work, though. Because what would happen is, and this happens very often when people win the lottery and they don't have any financial management skills,
right?
They're back in poverty within a few years.
Sometimes within a few months. Yeah, I mean, handling money is not something that everyone can do.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Especially God. Especially God. You know, it's all powerful, all knowing, created the earth and the universe, but just can't handle money.
Right.
and he always needs more.
Well, this is the reason I say, we should be represented by people that we can put our trust in, everything done with open book policy to the public, nothing hidden, and then we know what they're doing with this money and these resources. And, you know, and like I said, if they would go about this in the proper way, we could literally save this planet, and we could give the human race a future, a good future.
Yeah, and not a future where everything's rigidly controlled and what have you, but a future where these nasty corporations that more or less just pollute and destroy everything.
Yes,
Monsanto, U.S. Standard Oil, Johnson & Johnson, GlaxoSmithKline. The World Bank, IMF, so on, Chase Manhattan, so on and so forth. You know, there's no actual practical benefit in having these institutions even exist anymore. No practical benefit. Because they, although they do currently provide services that people need and use, they're not providing them in an honest way that allows for real competition. What they're doing is they're actually using their power and control and monopolistic ability to wipe out competition and to destroy the quality of even their own service in the process. So if you eliminate that process itself, allow competitive spirits and the ability of people to enter the marketplace using their own ideas. Basically, the United States really thrived on this very libertarian idea. No freaking income tax.
Right.
If you need a school built in your area, a whole bunch of people have, oh my God, they've got spare money because they don't have income tax. And they're actually able to donate and build the freaking school to educate their own children and take personal responsibility for the community around them. What a freaking novel idea!
Well, it's, you know, so many, you know, when I talk to people, I love to go in to these universities and things and, you know, and reach to the young people because they are the future. And, you know, when you wake them up, well, the effect seems like here in Croatia, like last year when I spoke at the university in Zagreb, man, I'm telling you, it woke a lot of people up. You know, and they go home and they tell their parents about all this, and then more people are investigating it. And I mean, that's the way the world changes. But we have to realize that, you know, if we just look at our history, like I said, we've never done a damn thing right. You know, we've always been misrepresented. So, you know, why can't we come up with something better? My God, I mean, if a man like me with a grade 8 education can see a better future, surely these young college students could see something maybe even better.
Yeah, which is why the United Nations is now infecting the entire global public schooling system to propagandize them. Because once you control the education level of an entire generation, you will control the command structure of the next generation.
Right. And, you know, and like we've said before, you know, history is written by the victors, and it's always the big money that's always behind. You know, they give us their take on history, and we accept it. You know, I think that all school curriculums, at least half of what they're teaching children in schools, should be actually thrown in a garbage can.
They're more appropriately termed in curriculums.
In curriculums, yes.
Because there's nothing correct about them.
Quite so, brother. You know, I was doing very well. The two teachers from Montreal contacted me, and one of them had cancer, and they were very interested in this. And you know, they'd been teachers all their lives, and we had quite a laugh because we were sitting there, and I told them, now this is kind of strange. I said, now here you are, two school teachers being educated taking an education from a guy with a great education. So they got quite a laugh out of it, but they were just in touch with me again today, and they're having great results. So it's like I said, it's just about waking them up. You know, one person at a time, you heal one person at a time, and, you know, all their friends know the truth, and it just keeps spreading.
Yeah, and this is what I was talking about not backing down. Because if you've got the truth, if you've got the facts, and you don't back down, I can assure you, every single argument that I've had with people of that nature who are just full of BS, they always leave the conversation first. I have never, ever left a thread on Facebook and having other people not leave first. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I'm just so stubborn and I'm a douchebag or whatever. It's because I have appropriate, reasoned, evidentiary responses to every fallacious statement that they make, and I make them look like a frickin' idiot every time they open their frickin' mouth, okay? And so they leave because they don't like being treated like that. They don't being treated like the idiot that they are.
Yeah, how dare you not respect me? You know, what kind of bullshit is that?
How dare he?
Yes, how dare he? But there is more and more people now, you know, speaking this way. And, you know, I was talking to a man here the other day, and he said that about me. He said, you know, you're a very brave man to stand up and do this. And I said, I'm simply speaking the truth, for God's sakes. That's what
we
all should be doing.
It does take bravery to do that, though.
Well, it does, but if we all started doing it, we'd all be prophets.
But then none of us would be brave. is that like, are you only brave by comparison to a coward, or is bravery bravery and cowardice is cowardice no matter which way you slice it?
Yes, that's quite true, brother. And there seems to be no shortage of cowardice these days.
Yeah, well, I find, what are we talking about? I've seen so many films where one man takes on the enemy by himself and takes them all out, you know, because he's brave and he's powerful and he's skilled and he can beat the crap out of them and shoot them from a freaking long distance away or whatever.
Rambo.
I think that people have begun to believe that because it's on a movie that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
That's not true, actually, because this is the lesson of history. It's always one person who takes out the bad guys, man. One person who got the skills, who won't back down, who's brave enough and stalwart. I remember Andrew Jackson, probably one of the coolest presidents of the United States.
Yes,
and I think this is not only a lesson of history that is both very interesting, but it's also quite mystical in a way, because on his deathbed, he was asked, "What was your greatest achievement in your life?" And he said, "I killed the bank," and he did.
Right,
greatest achievement he ever had in his life. The bankers didn't like that. And here's the most important part of the story, I think. The banker sent an assassin that had two single-shot pistols, broad daylight, and they both misfired.
Good.
You know, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you walk right with God,
yes,
something works out in the end, inevitably.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but it almost, David Icke has said the same thing. He said that, you know, that nobody's going to bother him or come near him because, you know, I think David Icke is really one of those people of the light. I mean, I think he's one of the greatest truth seekers on the planet, and I have a great deal of respect for the man. But, you know, like everybody out there, I mean, I'm putting out my books and things like that. And by the way, they are doing quite well. We get them out as ebooks right now, and you know, they're available on our website. But, you know, we've had so many good responses about the books. People are enjoying them. And right now on Pabstite Radio, through Indiegogo, we're doing a fundraiser so I can actually keep the books out in paperback. You know, because I keep giving the money away that it generates. And, you know, because all the activists need money, so I keep trying to help everyone.
Yeah, exactly, and that reminds me, I need money, ladies and gentlemen, but do not donate to me unless you have already paid for your food and your rent and have taken care of your family's needs. We'll be right back. Talk Radio. It's unfortunately come to the end of the line, and we're almost out of time with Rick Simpson from PhoenixTears.ca. That's something I came up with over the break. There's a lot of talk out there when people look at problems, okay, and say, like, this is the problem, that's the problem, blah, 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 blah. And then there's these pituitary retards. I think I'm being a little less insulting than I should be there, who say, that, you're just talking about the problems, you're not proposing any solutions. I'll tell you what the main problem is. The main problem is people refuse to look at the problems, okay? So the solution is to look at the problems honestly and openly and then come up with the frickin' solutions. How are you going to come up with a solution if you have no idea what the hell the problem actually is? You retard.
Well, I have to agree, Vinny. The public are very good at denying reality. And like you say, look at a problem like the cancer rates. You know, why don't people understand that, you know, the cancer treatments we have today aren't working, for God's sakes? We should all realize that. The doctors know that. So it's just like you said, people will not look at the problem. And if they simply would, then they would almost have to react and do something.
Pretty straightforward.
Yes, it
is. I would have thought. But have you noticed almost everything that's really simple and obvious is the most difficult to implement?
Quite so, brother. You know, I mean, when I started doing this years ago, I thought that, you know, the medicine would be out in a matter of months because it was just undeniable. There's the truth that, you know, all through history. And yet people, they'll do anything. They try to protect the government, for God's sakes. You know, like all those people in Canada that came to me, and once they understood the truth, then they start and they make excuses for the government. You know, they got to control the population. Now you look at them and you say, you know, do you know where you live? This is Canada. There's nobody here. What population? Jesus.
That's actually the best argument for population reduction I've ever heard.
Well, believe me, I mean, Canada's like Australia. It's the big empty.
Yeah, see, like I said, if you believe that humans should be killed deliberately and not saved, then by all means, volunteer. Okay? Yes. Volunteer. I don't know. As I say, there are many innumerable ways to commit suicide. You can commit suicide by overeating. You can commit suicide by having too many vaccines. You can commit suicide by helping to work at the Fukushima Daiichi reactor. Okay? There's plenty of options, ladies and gentlemen. It's open slather. Go for your life, son.
Well, there's a few things like I'd like to mention. Of course, you know, like I said, this medicine seems to work wonderfully on everything, but now we're having wonderful, you know, success with autistic children. Get the children on this oil. The autism just seems like the autism disappears, or most of it does anyway. So, I mean, these are very important things. That, I mean, if you happen to have an autistic child, you know, you're always going to love your children, but my God, you know, look at the responsibility the parents, you know, have to bear, because the child will never be able to function properly. So why not give them a chance to have a normal life? Put them on the oil. You know, it's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, in actual fact, I heard a story one time of an autistic child, or it might have even been two brothers, and they were in a school, and one of the school teachers decided that they would tutor them intensely. Intense repetition, 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 hardcore, beyond joking, right. You know. It takes a lot of intense education in order to get an autistic child to remember something, because I used to look after autistic children for a period of time. I know how difficult they are to teach, but I know that once you teach them a lesson, that lesson sticks with them and they don't forget it. Yes. And what this teacher did is she taught them how to speak, how to think, how to read, how to write, everything. Mm. How to read emotions, everything that autism prevents you from doing or makes it very, very hard from you to do it. This teacher, through that intense education process, actually managed to make these children more or less normal. They graduated high school with a high school diploma. They passed their exams. They went on to higher education, and they've got good jobs and all of that kind of stuff. And one of them actually became school valedictorian, I believe. And thanked the teacher profusely, because if nobody had made that effort, they would be completely dependent on their parents for their entire life.
Forever. That's right. You know, there was an activist in the States, a wonderful lady, and she has two teenage autistic children. And she's talked to me several times, and she said, you know, like, I told her, I said, why don't you put the children on oil? And she said, well, down here, you know, they're so rigid about this. And she said, they test children and things like this. So she said, I don't dare. But this past summer, when school let out, she put both of the children on the oil. And she said, Rick, the difference was day and night. She said, you know, the only thing, like autistic people with autism, they don't run, they can't run properly. But she said they're thinking, they're functioning. The only thing was that they still, maybe just because they were never able to run properly, but she said they still run a little bit funny, but she's basically they're functioning normally when they're on the oil. You know, what a wonderful thing. You know, and, you know, it's like I said, give these children a chance at a normal life, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, cannabis is not going to hurt them.
Yeah. And in fact, there's been a number of cases like that where I think there was a couple who had a child that was sick. I think they had like a brain tumor or something like that, inoperable.
Yes.
And doctor said, oh, he's going to die anyway. We'll put him on chemo or whatever. And the parents were like, yeah, why don't we try the Rick Simpson oil? And the doctors go, no, that's crazy. It's stupid. And so the parents go, okay, then. And went home and gave him the oil anyway. Didn't tell the doctor about it.
Right.
And then when the next went up for their checkup, the child didn't have a brain tumor anymore. And the doctor's going, what happened? And they're just like, well, we'll use that oil that you told us wouldn't work. You know, it's the same story. There was an elderly gentleman at home, and somebody was breaking into his barn, and he called up the cops and said, hey, there's somebody breaking into my barn. You need to get over here now and arrest them. And the cop and the comptroller said to him, no, there's no units in the area. So he goes, okay, then, and he hangs up the phone. He waits a minute, and then he calls them back, and he says, "You don't need to come round and arrest these guys anymore because I've shot them." And quicker than you can say, "Fat Sam," there were like half a dozen police cars on his property, and then they found the robbers that were in the barn and arrested them. And they went up to the old man and they said, "You said that you shot them. I thought you said that they shot them." And he said, "Well, I thought that you said that you didn't have any units in the area."
He put them on the spot, didn't he? Oh, my God.
You know, it's great. I love little stories like that. I love these stories of encouragement. And I see so many people who are depressed because they're only looking at the negativity. They're not looking at the successes we've had. And there are just as many successes as there are failures in any movement. And if you're capable of looking at both sides, both your successes and your failures, then you can virtually never get depressed about the situation because there's an equal balance. And I think that's what people need to understand, is that you need negativity and positivity at the same time. Otherwise, you're just not in touch with frickin' reality.
You need the yin and the yang. You got to have both. I would agree. But that's the problem right now. You know, what I see in this planet, you know, there's always good and evil, but there's far, far too much evil going on right now. We've got to get it back in balance again. And I think, you know, if we just use common sense and some little bit of logic, we shouldn't have any trouble doing that.
There's not an awful lot of common sense, which is why I've renamed it Platinum Sense, because it's one of those very, very rare elements that's extremely hard to find.
You're quite right, brother. Yeah, where the hell did common sense go? You know, when you look at something as simple as what I've showed the world, and yet people, like, they pretend like they can't understand it. Or, you know, I couldn't make that medicine. Well, damn it, if you can make a cup of coffee, you can make this medicine. You know, there's no rocket science here. Christ's sake, wake up.
Many people can't, you'd be surprised how many people just can't make a decent cup of coffee, though.
I don't think I would. You're probably right. I
mean, when I was a student at university, I knew dudes who couldn't make fucking toast. They couldn't make 2-minute noodles, bro. It's just like, oh my God, humanity, you are in deep freaking trouble.
But I mean, that's really what it's all about. It's just about us getting together and taking responsibility for, you know, our future, and take, you know, bring back self-sufficiency. We can do this. But, you know, it's just so much easier to sit there in your ass and let other people take care of you. And I think that's half what's wrong with the human race today.
Well, they will take care of you in the end, in the mafia sense of the word.
Go on, take care of them.
Right.
I mean, you know, seriously, believing in the state and its power to protect you is like cementing your own feet and dumping yourself in the river. It's just not, it's nothing but suicide, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be freaking retarded, okay? I can't make it any more obvious than that. And if you don't believe it, if you can't see the inherent truth of that statement, then please, as I mentioned, kill yourself. There's many options available. That's the great thing I love about our modern society, with all our conveniences. It gives us a lot of different choices. My very special guest has been Rick Simpson from PhoenixTears.co. The man who saves lives rather than encouraging them to end themselves. I've got that. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Vinny. It's been a pleasure,
brother. See you sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Please bear in mind, I'm in a lot of financial stress. I'm going to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate right now.